Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Before we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, October 9th, I want to make a comment about today, because today, Friday, the 7th of October, is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And in this time, it's always the case, but especially in this time of such turmoil, how much we need to pray the Rosary. One form of prayer, praying the Rosary, asking the Blessed Mother, to whom this country of ours is dedicated, that we pray and ask that she would receive our petition, she would receive our intercession, because we need all the help God can give us in this land of ours. John Paul wrote this about this particular feast and about the Blessed Mother. He said, "It could be said that each mystery of the Rosary, carefully meditated, sheds light on the mystery of man." You really meditate on each decade of the Rosary, really meditate on what is being celebrated, the joyful mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, the luminous mysteries. As you reflect on that, he says, it sheds light on the mystery of man. It helps us to understand ourselves. "Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you," says Psalm 55. Pope John Paul says to pray the Rosary is to hand over our burdens to the merciful hearts of Christ and his Mother. The Rosary does indeed mark the rhythm of human life, bringing it into harmony with the rhythm of God's own life. In the joyful communion of the Holy Trinity, our life's destiny and deepest longing. Through the Rosary, the faithful receive abundant grace, as though from the very hands of the Mother of the Redeemer. If you don't pray the Rosary, consider it. If you do pray the Rosary, let's pray it. Pray it for ourselves and pray it for our country. Pray it for our church. We look ahead now to the readings for this Sunday. The first reading is taken from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. Naaman, unless you're familiar with the second book of Kings, Naaman was the head of the king's army. And Naaman had leprosy, and of course that banished him. And he said to his king, "May I go down? There's a prophet. May I go down to this area and see if he will cure me?" And the king gives him permission. So Naaman, who was a pagan, goes down to this prophet to seek healing. The prophet didn't give him any grand entrance. The prophet just said to him, "Go down and plunge into the Jordan River." Naaman went down and plunged into the seven times at the word of Elisha, the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean of his leprosy. So Naaman returned with his whole retinue to the man of God, and on his arrival he stood before Elisha and he said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept this gift from your servant." Now Naaman was just over the line of becoming a believer in God from paganism. And so he wants to give a gift, which is understandable. And Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not take it." And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused, because he didn't want the miracle to be attributed to him. He didn't want to take credit for something that he didn't do. He simply prayed to God. It was God who did it. Do you see that clarity there? God could use him mightily, because he knew, yes, God could work through him, but God was the source, not himself. Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not take it." And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused. And Naaman said, "If you will not accept, then please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocaust or sacrifice to any other god except to the Lord." So he wanted to take the earth from this place, that it may be his place of worship to the living God, to the true God. They were just trying to find their way, brothers and sisters. But he acknowledged that there was a great God, greater than any gods he prayed to, who had healed him. And he wanted to honor that God by worship and by prayer. How much do we turn back to the Lord when something good has been given to us? How quickly do we turn back to the Lord? I've been meditating on that in my own life, and I had been praying for over a year for something, and suddenly it was so wonderfully answered, way beyond anything I expected. It was so wonderfully answered. And I think I stood, to be quite honest with you, I think I stood before the tabernacle and said, thank you, for 5 minutes. I just kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then throughout that day and throughout the subsequent days, I have thanked him. But that first day, I just stood before the tabernacle and just kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Excessive? I don't think so. God heard my prayer. And I want to return and render thanks, as I think we're all called to do. Not just, oh God, yeah, thanks, but really render him thanks. Psalm 98, the Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. And he has again and again and again. When we experience it, do we proclaim it? Do we acknowledge it? Second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. Beloved, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. All we have to do is turn back and say we're sorry, and he receives us and forgives us. But if we die without acknowledging his authority and power, we're doomed, brothers and sisters. God is only asking that we acknowledge the truth of who he is. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, he didn't bring them down and pray over them. He didn't bring them to him and touch them. He just said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. They obeyed him, even though in that precise moment they wouldn't have seen the effects yet. Faith, they obeyed. Even if it was only for moments, they obeyed. As they were going, they were cleansed. As they were in the act of going to do what the Lord asked them to do, go show yourselves to the priests. And one of them, realizing that he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. He was a pagan. And Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God? And then he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. Not only was he healed, but your faith has saved you. Not just from the human diseases we experience, but he saved you because you had real faith. You came back, you rendered thanks. Brothers and sisters, again, how grateful are we for what God does for us? How grateful are we? There's a priest by the name of Father Donald Hegarty, who is a priest in the Archdiocese of New York, was a missionary for many years, taught in Ethiopia, taught in the seminary in Ethiopia. And this is what he says. A prayer of gratitude will always influence our perceptions outside prayer. Once we are in the habit of thanking God for all that is happening in our life, including the harder challenges. Even when we can thank him for the difficulties, thank you because I know you're going to work good out of this. I know you're going to work good in me. When we can even thank him in those circumstances, a new realization awakens, says Father Haggerty. The providential nature of events begins to show itself more. We see, quotation marks, we see the hand of God more at work, or at least trust implicitly that his reasons will show themselves in time. I'm always struck by that, by the people who will say to me, no, my prayer hasn't been answered yet, but I know that God is at work, and I put all my trust in him. I trust in his mercy. That's faith. And God never disappoints. It's hard. It's hard. I've said to the Lord sometimes, Lord, this is going on a long time. What is it in me that needs to change in order for this prayer for someone else to be answered? Sometimes when God brings us in contact with misery, it's not just for us to help heal the misery, but God wants to work in us. He wants to change us. He wants to bring us more into his image and likeness. Father Haggerty says, the actual presence of a divine request in a day's circumstances becomes more available to our attention. The sense of spiritual opportunity increases, the sense that God is giving us a chance to prove our love in still another way. Over and over and over again, do you love me? Will you serve me? And things present themselves before us. We don't know how to handle them, but we desire to help. We seek to help. Those are the kinds of things where Father says it presents a spiritual opportunity, the sense that God is giving us a chance to prove our love in still another way. I don't want to work after school and help this person, but I do it because God would be pleased. I don't want to do X in the house anymore. I'm tired of it. But I do it out of love. It's all the mundane things, even the mundane things, brothers and sisters, if we do them when we'd rather be doing something else. I don't mean people shouldn't help us. When they're supposed to help us, they should help us. But I'm talking about our own internal grumbling. When you say to the Lord, I don't want to do this, but I will do it for your glory and for your honor. Use this. Use this to bring me closer to you. Use it to bring healing to my family. When we put ourselves aside and choose God's way over our way, even in the little hidden things, God is blessed. And God sees that faith. And God will touch our lives. And God will draw us to himself. God loves us, brothers and sisters. Reach out and love him in return through his people. And watch how God uses you. God bless. Brothers and sisters, you can receive my free booklet by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net. Renewalministries.net. From there, select radio, then select food for the journey, and you'll find a great deal of information available to you. God bless you.